Well, morning, everyone. This is really, I'm very excited about what I have to bring to you today, because I think there's been some themes already in the service today about what I'm going to be speaking about. So that's really exciting. And it's almost like God planned it. So that's very cool. So just over the last few weeks, we've been learning how God is a prophet, priest and king. And last week's Tori spoke on who we are in terms of being a royal priesthood. So today I'll be looking at who we are, but in terms of our identity and our identity as sons and daughters of the King. And when I say sons throughout this, please do know that I'm talking about ladies as well. So if I just say sons, it covers all of us. Okay. Forgot my clicker. So I just wanted to start off with this quote, which I really find quite interesting. So this is a quote from the former minister of Westminster Chapel in London, Martin Lloyd-Jones, who's Welsh. I love the Welsh. And he said, "If you should ask me to state one thing that I regard as the greatest problem in most Christian lives, I would say that it is a failure to know God as our Father as we should know him." Does anyone have any initial thoughts about that? Any thoughts? It is deep, yeah. I thought I'd kick off with that quote. So, knowing our identity as a child of the living God is absolutely, utterly transforming. The Father demonstrated the importance of Jesus knowing his identity as his son when he chose to speak these words over Jesus at his baptism. So I'm just reading from Matthew 3:13-17. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." So these words came out of the Father's mouth at Jesus' baptism. This is before Jesus started any of his ministry on earth. And the Father affirmed him as his son and said that he was pleased with him before he'd done anything at all in terms of his ministry on earth. Therefore, anything Jesus did for the Father and through his ministry was from his Father's approval, not for his Father's approval. Likewise, we really need to understand our positions as sons of the Father who do everything from his approval and not for his approval. There is nothing that we can do to make the Father love us more, and there's nothing we can do to make the Father love us less. Knowing our identity as sons of the Father in this way means we do not need to strive to achieve his love, favor, or affection through what we do for him, which is essentially legalism. We already have it just by being his sons. So I love this version of that same Bible passage in the Message. And basically, it just demonstrates even more powerfully the Father's overwhelming love for his son. So it says, "This is my son, chosen and marked by my love, delight of my life." Delight of my life. And I believe to live an effective life as a Christian, it is important we know who we are as sons, that we are the delight of our Father God. Each one of us is the delight of our Father. And not only are we the delight of our Father, but the Bible goes on to tell us that we are all of these things. And these are just a few of the things that the Bible tells us that we are as Christians and as children of God. So we are unique, we are loved, we are forgiven, we are strong, we are special, we are precious, we are important, we are capable, we are chosen, we are enough, we are victorious, we are amazing, we are protected, we are cared for, and we are family. Isn't that all just amazing? Like when you just read through all of that and think, that is me, that is all of you guys. You are all of these things as a child of God. And if any of those words do not align with how you feel about yourself, then you are believing a lie. You are believing a lie. And if that's the truth and you are believing lies, I believe that the Father God wants to do business with you today. The truth is, whatever you believe about yourself in the inside will affect the way that you are on the outside. And when Christians get a revelation of who they really are in Christ, they become an unstoppable force. Christians who know their identity as a child of a loving Heavenly Father expect to be used by Him to see His kingdom come through them. And we do not strive to achieve, but we are able to rest in His grace. We are, after all, human beings and not human doings. So knowing this truth deep in our hearts, it's a heart revelation, transforms our whole outlook in terms of seeing our outlook in life from one of orphans to one of sons, where we are secure in Him and we know that our Heavenly Father has our back. And as Romans 8:28 says, works for the good of those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose. So whether we've been Christians for a short while or a long time, the temptation can be to view God through our own experience of our own earthly father. And if you had a father that you were close to, that he was loving and who was present, who wanted to spend time with you and looked out for your best interests, then knowing God as a loving Heavenly Father is not a difficult concept to understand. However, if your experience of your father was not a positive one, maybe a distant, unloving, cold, but maybe it was distant, unloving, cold, or just frankly absent from your life, then it can influence your perception of our loving Heavenly Father, whose greatest desire, actually over and above everything, is that we spend time with Him, that we maintain intimate relationship with Him. And by doing so, we are increasingly transformed into the likeness of His Son, Jesus. So we can see our loving Heavenly Father through our own lens of experience of our own earthly fathers, and it can warp our perception of who God is. And if this is the case for you, if you don't perhaps know or feel that He desires to spend time with you, to spend quality, intimate time with you, then the first step for true transformation in this area is to recognize those unhealthy beliefs that you hold about our Heavenly Father and overcome that with the truth. Ta-da. The truth is that He loves you, He wants to be in relationship with you, He wants to spend time with you. He calls us to follow Him, and He has amazing plans and purposes for our lives. But He's more interested in spending time with us over and above anything that we do for Him. That's the truth. And we see this right in the beginning. In the beginning in Genesis, God made the Garden of Eden, which is pleasure in Hebrew. Eden is pleasure in Hebrew. And so he could enjoy the garden in relationship with Adam and Eve. Everything was perfect until they ate the apple. So this revelation of knowing God as Father and our identity as children of God is so important in the mobilization of the church that the enemy has chosen to wage a war against it. Right after the Father affirms Jesus at his baptism, the Holy Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness where he is tempted by the devil. The first thing the enemy does is to undermine and call into question Jesus' identity as God's son. So Matthew 4 verse 3 says, the tempter came after him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And again in Matthew 4 verse 6, if you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. So the enemy loves to call into question our identity too, right? He feeds us lies about everything. How we look, what people think about us, our abilities, our significance. The list goes on and on and on. And the sad truth about it is that many faithful Christians in the church are choosing to believe these lies rather than choosing to believe the truth about who God says they are, beloved sons and daughters of a loving Heavenly Father. And many of us know this truth in our heads, right? We've been taught it, we know it in our heads, but it's important that we go on a journey of revelation in our hearts for this truth to impact our hearts. And a key part of this journey is a conscious decision to let the truth of our identity in Scripture drown out the lies of the enemy. Arguably, Jesus' ability to stand firm in his sonship in the wilderness was key to him fulfilling his purpose on earth. And our ability to stand firm in our identity is key to us being able to effectively fulfill our purpose on earth and to see God's kingdom come wherever we go. Generally, children know how amazing they are. My son Peter regularly tells me how good he is at this one thing or another. I'm like, wow, you know, I wish I could be like that a bit more, frankly. But as we get older, we lose this ability to think we're wonderful, to think we're great, to think we're good at things. And I'm not suggesting we should think these things in an arrogant or a conceited way, not at all. But the truth is we have an incredible value and significance because God says so. My drink, where has it gone? Yeah, I had a curry last night and it was very garlicky, and so I'm very thirsty. Okay, so the value of something is determined by the price someone is willing to pay to purchase it. Okay, and Jesus paid the ultimate price to purchase you and me on the cross in order to wipe away all of our sins and to reconcile us to God. The more we understand our identity as beloved children of God, the more we can step into our significance and influence from a place of humility and dependence on him. This means that whenever we experience, as we all do in life, setbacks, slander, people being nasty to us, bullying, exclusion, whatever it may be, we can remain resilient because we know who we are, right? So I'm just going to do a little demonstration to illustrate this point. Okay, bear with me. Did I leave it? Oh, yeah. So I went to the cash point yesterday. I don't do that very often these days. Oh, you gave me a £20 note. Cool. And it gave me a £10 note, and I was really frustrated. I was like, oh, I really want a £20 note, and you're giving me a £10. But anywho, so Tom has come up with the goods and given me a £20 note. So I do actually need a volunteer for this little experiment or demonstration that I'm going to do right now. Anyone want to volunteer? Oh, well done, Hannah. Come on, then. It's nothing difficult, I promise. So this is a lovely £20 note. I mean, we don't really see cash very much anymore, do we? I certainly don't operate in cash very much anymore. So it's a beautiful, clean, lovely £20 note. And what I want you to do is I want you to be really mean to the £20 note. So my suggestions are that you screw it up, you stamp on it, do...
Now?
Yeah. So do your worst, basically. Yeah, stamp, you know, tramp on it, make it really look really ugly.
I mean, it's pretty good quality. It's quality paper.
They've changed, aren't they? They're more plasticky now. Thank you. Well done, Hannah. So my lovely £20 perfect note is now screwed up. Unlovely bit of paper. But guys, does this change the value of the note? It is still worth £20. And so it goes with us. Even though we have all these horrible things happen to us, you know, really, really nasty things throughout life, actually, when we know who we are, we understand that we're still worth £20, right? Did you like the demonstration? Jesus came to us to give us life and life to the full. And I don't believe we can live in this fullness until we truly understand at our heart level our identity as a child of God. And so it is with mission. To see the kingdom of God expand and grow, we can only really be effective when we understand who we are and are sure of our identity. Otherwise, our fear of underperforming or getting things wrong can really hold us back. Everything that Jesus did flowed out of his identity as a son of the Father, fueled by the Father's love. So in John 15, verses 9, Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Abide in my love." In fact, you could have kept that, Hannah. I was being generous. So some of us did the Call to Influence course by Karen Kircher, which was really quite amazing. How to Become a Kingdom Style Leader in Your Workplace. And if you haven't read this book, I totally heartily recommend it. She talks about how knowing our identity in God is absolutely crucial to any effective witness or influence that we may have in the workplace, or for that matter, any of our spheres of influence. And she includes this amazing quote in a book from Christian author Marianne Williamson, which I thought was really profound. She says, "We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are meant to shine, as children do. We are born to manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just some of us, it is in everyone as we let our own light shine. As we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others." So good. There is a battle for our identity, knowing ourselves as beloved sons and daughters of the King, of our loving Heavenly Father. The enemy knows how powerful the church would be if every believer lived in the fullness of their identity in Christ. So my question to you is, what lies are you believing about yourself and about who God is? I apologize for this slide in advance. Cardinal sin, too much information on one slide. But it's so brilliant that I had to try and get it all on. So this is a table. This is a table, and it's taken from Jack Frost's book, Experiencing the Father's Embrace. And he identifies several behaviors we exhibit if we are living with orphan thinking and have not truly experienced a heart revelation of the Father's love for us and who we are as his child. If we have a heart of an orphan, we tend to see God as master, not as a loving father, as a son would. Orphans remain self-reliant and independent because they believe there is no one that will help them. But sons acknowledge their need for God and are interdependent on their Heavenly Father. Orphans try to make up for any previous sins committed, believing that they are justified by works and not grace. Sons know that all their sins were washed away at the cross, and they don't need to strive for the Father's acceptance. Orphans lack peace and are often insecure. Sons experience rest and peace. Orphans strive for praise, approval, and the acceptance of man. Sons know that they are totally accepted in God's love and justified by grace. In the service that we give, orphans work to earn favor. Sons know that they already have God's favor. Orphans are always comparing themselves to other people. Sons know they are affirmed by God and don't need to compare. Orphans seek comfort in counterfeit things like addictions, compulsions, escapism, busyness, and hyper-religious activity. A son's source of comfort is God himself. Orphans feel in competition with each other and are jealous of others' success and position. Sons rejoice in others' blessings and success. When handling others' faults, orphans are harsh and accusing. Sons cover mistakes and are restoring. Orphans distrust and rebel against authority. Sons respect and honor. Orphans don't receive challenge well. Sons receive it gladly. An orphan's expression of love is guarded and conditional and based upon others' performance. A son is open, patient, and affectionate. Orphans believe God is conditional and distant. Sons know that God's presence is unconditional and intimate. Just take a moment and see if any of these resonate with you. One day, my journey in Scotland will come to an end. But the greatest gift by far that I have received through my time here is receiving a profound revelation of my identity in God. My position of a beloved daughter of God and a Heavenly Father who loves me and wants to spend time with me. And it's not that I didn't know all of these things already, but it shifted into a heart revelation for me. In my previous life, when I lived in Cardiff, I had a very, very busy life. I did church-related activity 3 nights a week. I went to the gym 2 nights a week. I did church on Sunday. I did youth work. And although my motivation was good in that I wanted others to know Christ through what I did, I also did like the praise, approval, and acceptance of those in my church, if I'm honest. Orphan thinking. This coupled with my experience of my own earthly father, who didn't prioritize spending time with me, as many men of his generations were like, let's be honest, meant that I didn't appreciate that my Father God wanted to spend time with me, intimate time with me, because that's not something I'd experienced in an earthly sense. And as a result, I was busy doing stuff for God, but I was neglecting spending time with God. So once I moved to Scotland in 2007, everything changed for me, everything. So whilst it was wonderful being married, and I have to say, you know, falling in love, it switches off the part of your brain which is responsible for reason. Yep, it's truth. So I went from a very amazing life, lots of friends, a great church community, to come to here. And it was a challenging time. This is before Gina and Francis turned up, I have to add. The church was falling apart. I experienced a hostility that I'd never experienced before. And everything changed for me. I had no friends. Even my name was different. Everything about my identity in an earthly sense changed completely. And, you know, I was too far away from my friends and family for them to be a significant part of my life anymore. And I went through a feeling of huge loss and grief about that. And in the early days, if I'm honest, I was incredibly lonely. And I'm sure some of you have gone through similar experiences, without a doubt. But, you know, God is a pain. Is God's megaphone, and it's often through these desert times where he does his most significant work in us. And so it was with me. I began a journey of discovering my identity as a beloved daughter of the King, understanding that God's presence is unconditional and intimate, and it it has enabled me without doubt to be more courageous and to step out into things where previously I would have held back through fear. But of course, like all of us, I am a work in progress. And for each of us to move forward in our journeys, we need to identify the lies that we are believing about ourselves. And having heard me speak this morning, you might already be thinking about stuff that you know is a lie and is not truth. But for others, you might not know. It might not be immediately obvious what those lies are. So my advice to you is to find a trusted friend, maybe someone here today, to speak some truth over you. And if you start to be really uncomfortable and squirm because of it, then the Lord is putting his finger on that lie right there. And it's often in the areas where we are going to be most effective is where the lies are the strongest. So once you've identified that lie, spend time with God repenting for believing it and choose to break agreement with that lie, because it is not truth. And speak the truth out. Words, as we know, have significant power. So speak truth over yourself. These are the truth about each and every one of you. You are unique. You are loved. You are forgiven. You are strong. You are special. You are precious. You are important. You are capable. You are chosen. You are all enough as you are. You are victorious. You are amazing. You are protected, you are cared for, you are family, and you are all forgiven. So say this truth out loud and repeat it until it gets into your system, deep in your heart. And this can be really challenging to do, but it is super, super powerful. And also, do not speak negatively about yourself. We all fall into this trap of speaking negatively over ourselves. Do not do it. Turn away from the lies and don't reinforce them. And here's some truth to get you started. You are all significant. You are called and anointed to see God's kingdom come here on earth. There are supernatural encounters for each and every one of you everywhere you go. And for us to be truly effective in seeing his kingdom come, we need to embrace all that our Heavenly Father says we are. Spending quality, intimate time with him. And if we do this, we'll be unstoppable for the kingdom. If any of you have been stirred by that, I would love to pray with you. I'm sure others would love to pray with you. If you don't want to do that, do find a friend and kind of talk these things through. Break the power of any lies that have held you captive. And remember, each of you is significant and you are all called and anointed to see God's kingdom come on earth. Shall I pray? Father God, I just thank you for your presence here this morning, Father. Thank you, Jesus, that we have access to you, Father, in such an intimate way, Father. That what you desire over and above anything that we ever do for you is our presence with you, Father. You enjoy being with us, Father. You love our presence. You love everything about us. We are so precious to you. And Father, I pray for each and every one here, Lord, that they would renounce any lies that they are choosing to believe about themselves, Father. I pray in Jesus' name, they have no place in your brains anymore. And I pray, Father, that they would step into everything that you say that they are. And that, Lord, through that revelation, Father, that they would be unstoppable for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.